Let us reread our text for this morning, the short 121st Psalm, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The Bible, beloved, is a book for pilgrims. That is, those who are on a journey to a better place. Father Abraham and his family came from Ur to the Promised Land. A few generations later, Moses led the nation of Israel from Egypt to that land flowing with milk and honey. Later, David fixed Jerusalem as the holy city within the Holy Land. And then the three great pilgrimage feasts, Passover and unleavened bread, Pentecost and Tabernacles, those three feasts appointed by Moses required pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And then we have these 15 pilgrimage psalms, especially for the three pilgrimage feasts. Psalms 120 through 134 were sung when the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, to broaden it out, the whole life of the Old Testament saint was a pilgrimage to heaven. This is the testimony of Jacob to Pharaoh in Genesis 47 verse 9. The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. This is Psalm 39, verse 12. David asks, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. And not just is that the case with the Old Testament saints, but all of the life of the New Testament saint is a pilgrimage to heaven too. This is especially the message of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2 verse 11 states, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And within this framework too, Almighty God has appointed the Lord's Supper for us as a sort of spiritual food for the journey. Now what about the relationship between Psalm 119 and the pilgrim songs, Psalms 120 through 134? Last week we noticed that Psalm 119, the big long psalm, comes immediately before the 15, relatively short, pilgrim songs. Now we need to go a step further to see that it is the glorious Word of God, which is the subject throughout the 119th psalm. It is the Word of God which makes us set out on and continue our pilgrimage. And that psalm, the 119th, even says as much. Psalm 119, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. It was God's commandments that made him a stranger and that guided his pilgrimage. Verse 54 of the same psalm says, Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. He rejoiced in God's statutes, his law, in the house of his pilgrimage, either when he went up to the central place of worship or even in his own home, because he went on pilgrimage to God through prayer and praise even in his household. Now then, what about Psalms 120 and 121? The first two of the pilgrimage songs. We meditated on Psalm 120 last week. There the saint is distressed because he's slandered. Slandered by the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren, and through them, through the devil rather, slandered by the world, the false church, and false brethren. The point is that the pilgrim leaves the strife of tongues and war, the strife and tongues and war of spiritual Mesech and Kedar, for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we call Psalm 120 the saint setting out. Psalm 121 goes a little bit further, and it is the saint on his way. He sets out, the first of the pilgrimage psalms, and he's on his way in the next psalm. In verse 1 of Psalm 121, the saint is drawing nearer to Jerusalem, for he looks up and sees the Judean mountains. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. In verse 8, he can look back to his going out from his home, and he can look forward to his coming into Jerusalem. And the Lord preserves our going out and our coming in. And this is the position of the Church of Jesus Christ today and of each and every believer. We have set out for the heavenly Jerusalem. And very obviously, we have not arrived yet, but we are on our way. That's the point of the pilgrimage psalms. And this psalm in particular, the saint on his way. And we'll look first at the source of our help in verses 1 and 2, and then the scope of our protection in verses 3 through 8. The saint on his way, the source of our help, and the scope of our protection. Let's picture then to ourselves the Old Testament pilgrim on his way to the city of Jerusalem and especially its temple. As the journey wears on, he becomes tired, even weary. For some pilgrims, this was a trip of 100 miles or more, day in, day out, you can't do that in one day, on foot. Very few travel on horseback. The pilgrim then can get hot and even sweaty, for Canaan is a lot further south than us. It can even get cold in the evenings, especially at certain times of the year in connection with particular feasts. Pilgrimage is a hungry and thirsty business. And it is, of course, nearer the end of the journey that the pilgrim becomes most weary, most sweaty, most thirsty, or most hungry. He's been on the road now for many days, and especially as his journey nears its completion, he is going uphill into the Judean mountains, like a marathon in which the last stretch goes upwards to the finishing line. And then what happens when one is weary and sweaty and thirsty and hungry? When you're going uphill, the head goes down. You begin not to walk anymore, but to trudge or plod. You get discouraged when your head's down because you think you're making no progress and your steps get smaller. And then you think about stopping or giving up and maybe even turning back. And at this stage, the believing pilgrim remembers Psalm 121's opening line, "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills." And then he starts to sing it. "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills." And when he starts singing it, some of the other pilgrims join in, because it's a corporate business. You go up with your family and friends and your fellow villagers, and they sing too, "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills." And they keep going through the psalm. That first statement, "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills," is a word of resolution. I will do this. An encouraging word addressed, first of all, to oneself. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. And whenever you start doing this, your hands no longer hang down so limply. Your knees are no longer as weak. Your back is straightened. Your face is upturned, because we are lifting up our eyes onto the hills. This first verse states that the pilgrim looks up to the hills for help. "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Now, the idea here, first of all, is that mountains are a picture of strength and power. And then secondly, of constancy and firmness. They're just there. High, strong, impressive, unmovable. And these are qualities that the weary pilgrim needs as he trudges on and nears the end of his journey. But for us it is more especially what is in these mountains that's important. The mountains spoken of here are the Judean mountains in the middle of Judea. And in the middle of the Judean mountains is Jerusalem, which is the city of God. "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills," the Judean mountains, pictures of strength and firmness, because in there, in the midst of them, is the city of God. And there is one building in the middle of this city, which is in the middle of these mountains, that is most crucial. It's the temple. The temple, with its priests and with its sacrifices, as a picture of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, with its holy furniture and with its holy ark, God's temple, that is the goal of the journey. "I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And that's why the pilgrim looks up to those hills, the Judean mounts, in which nestles that city, Jerusalem, wherein is that building, the temple, because that's where God especially dwells, in the holy place. This is the confession not only of the Old Testament saint, but of the New Testament pilgrim today. And by this confession, we don't only mean that Jehovah is simply one helper amongst many or several. We don't even mean that God is our chief help. We mean God is our only help. Verse 2 essentially is teaching us, "My help cometh from the Lord alone, which made heaven and earth." Because if you trust in the Lord, Jehovah, the one who made heaven and earth, you don't need any other helps. Alone, he helps us. And this is part of our confession, the first line of the Apostles' Creed. This is what it means to say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." It means, my help cometh from the Lord alone, the one who made heaven and earth. The point here of God as our only helper is, in this context, that Jehovah is our only helper as we go on pilgrimage. That's what the help here enables us to do in this psalm. Jehovah is the only all-sufficient helper as we go on pilgrimage to the city which is above, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Jehovah in Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the triune God, by his Holy Spirit, gives, sustains, and perfects our faith as we look to him and go up on pilgrimage. Jehovah is our helper then, as we go on what we called last week, the pilgrimage of prayer. Jehovah is our helper in the pilgrimage of prayer because, first of all, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, granting us the forgiveness of sins, enables us to pray, gives us access to God through the mediator. And then the Holy Spirit works our prayers in us. My help in coming to this Lord who is in heaven, my help in so doing in prayer, is from Jehovah, the author and finisher of my faith, and the author and finisher of even my prayers. Otherwise we'd never get there, because the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Jehovah, too, is our only all-sufficient helper in the pilgrimage of worship, because the unregenerate man can no more worship than he can pray. God tells us how he must be worshipped in his word, and we call that the regulative principle. He gives us the principles of worship from the word, which principles regulate our worship, so that we don't bring to God an offering that he hasn't commanded all of our hands, an offering which he will reject. God then enables us too to worship not only by the letter of his word, but by the Holy Spirit who empowers that letter in us, so that we can praise him truly. And then, of course, our worship is filled with many sins and imperfections. So our intercessor and mediator, Jesus Christ, who purges and purifies our prayers, cleanses our worship too, so that it is acceptable in the eyes of God. So that we can, through Christ, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We can come up to the Jerusalem which is above, to the temple of God, and praise him. That's the point of pilgrimage. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's what the Old Testament saint said as he ascended the mountains, as he heads up to Jerusalem, as he enters the temple precinct. And this is our confession as New Testament pilgrims too, as we bring prayer and praise to our God. just as the Old Testament saints before us did for centuries. And the point here is that we have a great helper in Jehovah, the Eternal One, the One who is above and beyond time, the One who creates time as a succession of moments, and the One who governs and directs everything which happens every second of every day all over the world. Absolutely unchangeable and self-existent, the One who needs no help and who gives all help, especially here to weary pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. My help, says the Christian, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And that obviously means all power is His, and all wisdom is His, which means that the power and wisdom of God is sufficient to help all the pilgrims in all ages, in all parts of the world, to come to Him. This is what Jesus taught us in John 4. We must worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Which means not merely that's what God wants, but that's what God does. God seeks and creates and so finds worshippers and grants them His strength and wisdom so that we ascend the holy hill of Zion. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So our helper is both the God of creation and the God of the covenant. He is both the God of the universe and the God of the church. He is our maker and our redeemer. And this is important too in pilgrimage, because the pilgrim walks through God's beautiful world before he comes to Zion and reaches the glorious city, the eternal everlasting church of Christ, as the goal of our pilgrimage to God. And the saint knows this, and knows this more and more. That's the point of Psalm 121:2. As he looks to God in faith through prayer and praise. You see this in Psalm 121. It is the one who says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The one who says that also says and confesses, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we need to know that too as we come to the Lord's Supper, because we do not look to the hills as such. No more do we look to bread and wine as such. Even the bread and the wine in the Holy Supper, which are real, not empty, real signs and seals to us of Christ's crucified body and shed blood. Just before the breaking and distribution of the bread in our form come these words as a sort of warning or corrective, so that we don't come with any carnal attitude to the Lord's Supper. It says, that we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, so that as if mere physical eating or the adoration or worship of the elements did any good, but let us instead lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father in the Jerusalem which is above, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. And therefore we must not doubt, but that we shall be as certainly fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy wine and bread in remembrance of him. And it's in this way that the two sacraments serve our pilgrimage. In the Lord's Supper, we don't cleave to earthly elements. We lift up our hearts on high to where Jesus Christ is at God's right hand, and where Christ is, that's the city of God, where he rules, where his throne is. And in baptism too, we see water. We see water as a sign and a seal. We see water which comes down as a picture of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us, as the one who applies to us the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. God helps pilgrims. That's the point of verses 1 and 2. And the remainder of this psalm is basically saying to us that God helps pilgrims to approach him in his holy place by keeping, preserving and protecting us in our pilgrimage. God helps us, help being the main word in verses 1 and 2, by keeping, preserving and protecting us in our pilgrimage. Verses 3 through 8. And in these last six verses, verses 3 through 8, one Hebrew word is used six times. Three times it's translated as keep. Verse 3. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And then not only is it three times translated keep, three times it is translated preserve. Verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. Six times the word keep, preserve and protect is used in these last six verses. And along with this sixfold use of the word keep or protect or preserve, the word Jehovah is used five times. You see it in verse 2, verse 5 twice, verse 7 and verse 8. The only name of God used in this psalm. And the idea is that the great I Am, that's what Jehovah means, I am that I am, the self-existent, eternal, unchangeable, faithful, covenant-keeping God helps us, verses 1 and 2, and this great Jehovah helps us by keeping, preserving, and protecting us, verses 3 through 8, on our pilgrimage to what John Bunyan called the celestial city, or what Paul calls the Jerusalem which is above. And this is the main point and consolation of Psalm 121. Jehovah, I am that I am, helps us by keeping and protecting us on our pilgrimage to the celestial city. And this is why the pilgrims sang this song on the road. They'd set out, but they hadn't quite got there yet. A song for the road. And Jehovah helps by keeping and preserving us here. This is true for the individual believer. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the individual believer. This is the case too for each of our brothers and sisters in Christ, because the psalmist then, talking about his own hope in verses 1 and 2, addresses, as it were, his brother pilgrim en route, and he will not suffer thy foot to be moved either. He that keeps thee, you brother, he won't slumber. And then this great help and preservation of God is widened out to the whole of the elect church collectively. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, verse 4, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And this refers to the Old Testament Israel, and also to what Paul calls in Galatians 6, the Israel of God. Believers in Jesus Christ, who have been circumcised inwardly by the Spirit, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. And this keeping, preserving, and protecting by Jehovah of each believer and the entire church is absolutely unceasing and unfailing. Verse 3, partway through, reads, "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He doesn't take any cat naps. He doesn't doze or snooze or slumber or sleep as he watches over our lives. We sleep. We sleep physically, presumably every day, unless in really dire circumstances. And we even sleep spiritually too, to our shame, although Jesus says, watch and pray, but we can sleep. The pagan gods sleep. And that was part of Elijah's mockery on Mount Carmel. Shout a little louder and wake up Baal. Maybe he's sleeping. Although, of course, the idols don't even sleep. They don't even exist in order to sleep. But you get the point. But Jehovah never sleeps. He watches over us 24/7, 365 days in the year. And his eyes are always open. And always upon us, and never shut. And he doesn't even sleep, as it were, with one eye open. He is always wholly watchful as he guards and preserves and protects us. And the rest of this psalm now descends into particular, specific ways that God watches and preserves us on our pilgrimage. Verse 3 begins, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved." And moved here of the foot refers to the foot slipping and sliding, because we're on a journey here. And of course, in this connection, there are many dangers of going up to Jerusalem. You can have a sprained ankle. Then what do? You can engage, or you can experience a bad fall, and maybe break some bones, and that's a far bigger problem in the day in which this psalm was written than in our day. You could fall off a cliff or a ravine. You have to cross rivers too. The bridges weren't as good in those days. Maybe even the Jordan, if you were from Manasseh or Gad or Reuben, let's say. The Jordan can be particularly dangerous at certain times of the year, particularly when it's in flood. So God says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved." And the point of this, beloved, is that God will not allow one of his true children, not even one, to fail in their pilgrimage. Everybody will make it to Zion, the eternal city. No one will fail in the attempt. No broken legs, no bruised ankles. Nobody will turn back. All will make it. Paul says, "We are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And then later in that same epistle, he says that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior. This too, beloved, is part of the sign and seal of the Lord's Supper. That the God who sent his Son to Jerusalem, mind you, in order to die for our sins, and he went up on pilgrimage, it was the Passover, he will certainly bring us to the heavenly Jerusalem, and our foot will not slip. Certainly not. Jehovah also, on this pilgrimage, protects us night and day. Verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. This means that God protects his pilgrims from sunstroke, from heat in the day, and from cold at night, so that none of those things stop us on our pilgrimage. And we don't need charms or amulets or magic enchantments to deliver us from the sun or the moon, as the pagans did, and some New Agers think they do today. There's no need to worry, no need to be anxious. We will get there. Every day, every night, we're on the way. The Lord, says the psalmist in verse 7, shall preserve thee from all evil. Anything you can think of that may stop you. Paul enumerates a few for us at the end of Romans 8. Principalities and powers and things present and things to come and all the rest. In Old Testament terminology, you could think of sickness and bereavement and persecution. You could think of bandits. Remember the man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. You could think of wild beasts. There were lions and bears, as the Old Testament especially reminds us. Then there were pagan armies that would make forays into the land, like the Philistines or the Syrians. But God preserves his pilgrims from all evil. And he either removes our afflictions, or he turns them to our profit, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 7 adds. Your life. Your heart. Your mind. Your spirit. He will preserve us always. The Lord, verse 8 continues, shall preserve thy going out. Psalm 120. And thy coming in. Psalm 122, we'll look at that, Lord willing, this evening. And he shall do this from this time forth and even forevermore. For pilgrims. Only for pilgrims. Because this God is our God forever and ever. And he will be our guide even unto death. Amen.